Thank you. My name is Stanley Campbell, and I'm here on behalf of Mr. Sabo, trying to defend him against the intrusion of his home by the King's men. His contention is that his stepping back following the request of the police officer to enter his home is not a sufficient manifestation of consent to allow authorize the entry of the police officer into his residence.
Well, he certainly demonstrated what was no consent in the first encounter.
He sure did, Judge.
Yeah.
If nobody's going to hold this against me, when the police officer, when the marshals first came to his residence, he pretty plainly told them to get the fuck out of here and slammed the door in their face. Mr. Sabo's argument is that the Walls case is distinguishable in that in the Walls case there were at least two other affirmative actions on the part of Ms. Walls that could be considered to impliedly demonstrate her consent to the officers enter into the residence. If I'm reading the Walls case correctly, the police officers had come, and they were, and I think the language of the case is that they were seeking entry into the residence. And there was some indication that there were others in the residence that were laughing at them or saying, no, they couldn't come in. And then Ms. Walls comes in response to their request to be allowed to enter into the residence, and she opens the door, an affirmative action in opening the door. And then she goes back into the residence and continues on into the hallway, and she's beckoning to the officers to come into, and I think they ended up in a kitchen area, which is where the officers went into.
But so, the Walls case didn't rely on that further gesturing, right? They just indicated that it was
I understand what you're saying. I think that's the point the government wants to make, but I can't remember the exact language, but the opinion says something like there was further.
I think it was further instruction of the intent to manifest consent.
As a further demonstration or manifestation of the consent. Yeah. So I think my position would be that it was an accumulation of the actions of Ms. Walls that would allow the court to come to the conclusion that she indeed intended those officers to come into the residence.
What the opinion actually says is that her action in opening the door and stepping back to allow entry was sufficient to convey her consent in these circumstances. So that is sufficient, and then the gesturing to come into the kitchen that happened later is, quote, further, her consent is further illustrated by that action. So it seems like the Walls case stands squarely for the proposition that what happened here is sufficient to manifest consent. In other words, stepping back, opening the door and stepping back.
In and of itself.
And allowing entry without saying no, without further ado, basically, is sufficient. You don't need that extra step, which is what your argument is.
Well, I guess my argument would be that if, in fact, you didn't need that extra step, if that meant nothing, then there wouldn't have been any reason to have put it into the opinion. It's got to mean something.
Bolstering.
and the other point is that the factual situation in Walls was that the officers were there requesting entry into the residence. Ms. Walls came to the door and opened the door, stepping back and continuing on as the officers are coming in.
What's the distinguishing feature here?
That Mr. Sabo didn't open the door in response to a request that Officer McCune be allowed to come into the residence. I think the testimony was that Officer McCune knocked on the door, asked Mr. Sabo to open the door. Mr. Sabo opened the door. He was standing there. It was then that Officer McCune said, "Can I come in?" or words to that effect. And then Officer McCune said that Mr. Sabo stepped back and the door opened further. He didn't say that Mr. Sabo affirmatively opened the door. And I think you can
open the door at the first knock. So both.
The distinction I'm trying to make is that in the Walls case, the door was opened in response to the police officer's request that they be allowed to come into the residence. That request
sounds like a knock and announce rule, which is not the doctrine that we're in here. It sounds like you're suggesting that because in Walls they knocked and announced and said, we want to come in, that the act of opening the door and stepping back was consent, and because the knock here wasn't accompanied by the announcement that we want to come in, it takes it out of that. But there isn't a knock and announce rule.
What I'm trying to say is that the affirmative act in opening the door was in response to the request that they be allowed to come into the residence. When Mr. Sable opened the door, there hadn't been a request by the officer that he be allowed to enter into the residence. The only request of the officer was that Mr. Sable open the door.
Well, I make a distinction, too. That's why I asked the first question, is when the marshal showed up, he didn't know that. I mean, he gave no way, slams the door. Then when his, we'll call it an acquaintance, the officer said, we know each other, you know, kind of, obviously, conning them a little bit, just relax, you know, we're friends, or, I mean, we know each other, et cetera, and so he steps back, and et cetera, and then you got three guns right there in the room. He knows this guy is a convicted felon. Actually, they're looking for someone else, they want to make sure he isn't there, because that was the implication. But once inside, you know, then other things develop, but clearly there was not any kind of resistance, as best we can tell. Maybe he didn't resist or just was already stepped aside or something, and they all come in and he said, oh, it's too late now, they're all in here or something. I don't know what he thought, but there wasn't any real resistance.
By Mr. Sable?
Yeah.
No, there wasn't. The testimony was that he simply stepped back, and I guess we can take it to mean that he stepped back enough and the door apparently swung open enough that the officer could then make his way into the residence. But I think that the fact that Mr. Sable was pretty clear about his intention, that he didn't want police officers, for obvious reasons, coming into his residence, sort of supports the argument that his simply stepping back when he saw Officer McCune, or when he knew it was Officer McCune, because Officer McCune said, this is who I am, when he knocked on the door, I'm Officer McCune, and McCune said he knew him from past experience. I think that supports his argument that in stepping back, he wasn't intending for Officer McCune to come in.
I'm just going to say, is there any mention of the other guy they were looking for?
He wasn't there.
What's the second officer's name, the one that he let in? What's his name, McCune?
McCune, the officer who was at the door.
Did he say anything about we're looking for so-and-so?
No, and I'm not even sure he would have known, because what happened was the marshals were there looking for this person. It was at the request. There was a warrant out of the Southern District, if I remember this right. And the marshals then retreated when Sabo said to them, I don't want you in my residence, slammed the door in their face. They retreated. They contacted Kosciuszko County Sheriff's Department. Detective McCune arrived. There wasn't any indication in the record that Officer McCune knew that the marshals were looking for someone that might have been in the residence, although he could have.
Well, it would imply that, because presumably they went and hid behind the bushes, went to make sure whoever they're looking for didn't come out and then take off.
Marshals, you mean? Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And so they called the cops.
And he may have been aware as to why the marshals were there, and the fact that there may have been a fugitive in the residence, but there wasn't any testimony to that effect, if I remember right.
Doesn't the fact that he so forcefully announced his dissatisfaction with the police being at his residence earlier actually undermine your argument, because it demonstrated that he certainly was aware of his right to refuse entry, and therefore it actually weighs against your argument?
Well, I guess it at least demonstrates that he didn't want the police in his residence. Now, why he opened the door for Detective McCune, I don't know. And it may have been that he knew Detective McCune from prior events.
Well, I think that's what the facts support, but he didn't just open the door for Detective McCune. Detective McCune asked if he could step inside and talk to him, and the defendant silently stepped back into the side, yielding the right-of-way.
He did. He stepped back. The question of whether he was intending to yield the right-of-way so that Detective McCune should be allowed to enter is what we're contesting. And our argument is that by simply stepping back, that's not an authorization for someone to come into your residence.
All right. Thank you. Your time has expired, but I'll give you a minute in rebuttal. All right. Ms. Miller-Lowry.
May it please the Court, Counsel, Leslie Miller-Lowry on behalf of the government. It's the government's contention and belief that, in fact, Terry Szabo did consent to the entry of the officers into his home on that date. It is well established that consent can be given by nonverbal means and by gestures, and that's exactly what the government contends that Mr. Szabo did in this case. When Detective McCune went to the Szabo trailer on that date, he knew who Terry Szabo was. He had dealt with Terry Szabo before. And when he went to the door, knocked on the door, Mr. Szabo answered the door. "Terry, this is Don McCune. Can we talk a minute?" He opens the door. Mr. Szabo was positioned in the door such that Detective McCune could not have gotten into the trailer had he not picked Mr. Szabo up, set him to the side, or somehow forcefully tried to enter the trailer. And there's no indication and no testimony in the record that anything forceful of that nature happened. So the question, the very narrow question then becomes, at that moment where Terry Szabo is standing in the doorway to the trailer, where Detective McCune cannot get by him, and we know that Detective McCune at some point got by him, and we also know that there are no facts and there's nothing to support that there was anything forceful done or said in order for Detective McCune to enter the trailer, the question then becomes, how did he get past Mr. Szabo? Mr. Szabo stepped aside and allowed Detective McCune into the trailer. It may be because he was familiar with Detective McCune and he was not familiar with the United States Marshals that showed up, but his act of stepping aside was enough, and the law supports the fact that that is enough to manifest his consent to allow them into his trailer, particularly when he's standing such that you could not get by him had he not moved in some way. The fact that he was so vociferous and clear that he did not want the marshals inside of his trailer and did not step aside when they were clearly asking him, is Jeffrey Reams in here, and then acted completely the opposite, as Your Honor noted, when Detective McCune came, is certainly something I think you can look at in determining what it was going through his head with regard to consent.
Did the marshal say something about, as you said, Jeffrey Reams, is that his name? Or something?
Yes, that was the warrant subject.
Did the marshal say something about that, Reams?
Yes, I believe in the record they did.
And then when they mentioned marijuana, that's when he slammed the door.
Yeah, that's when he said, expletive, get out of here.
But he knew they were looking for Reams.
Yes, I believe the record supports that he knew that they were looking for Jeffrey Reams. And he was very clear that he did not want them inside of his trailer looking for Jeffrey Reams or in his trailer for any purpose. And he made it clear. There's no clear indication in human interaction that you don't want to be bothered with somebody than slamming the door in their face. So when Detective McCune comes and gets almost the exact opposite response, I think that's certainly further indication of the manifestation of his consent to allow Detective McCune into the house.
Well, certainly he knew Reams wasn't there. So
yes.
He didn't have any worry about that. So
there was no worry.
The question is what else they encountered when they went in knowing he's a felon.
That's correct.
So, but we're only looking at the entry here.
Right. Once Detective McCune got in, everything else at that point was in plain view. So the issue is, so there wasn't an issue, obviously, you know, once he's in the trailer. The issue is that moment in time where he's standing in the threshold, and how did he get past the individual who was blocking the threshold?
The guns were in plain view inside the trailer, but not everything else, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So not everything was in plain view,
no.
Just the guns.
The guns were in plain view.
So the sweep may have been justifiable to secure the guns, but the broader search...
The broader search was supported by a search warrant that they obtained verbally from the local Superior Court judge.
They were looking for Reem?
They at that point, I know the warrant wasn't to look for Reams. The warrant was based on the smell, the strong smell of marijuana.
Right, but then we've got a drug investigation.
Right.
I had the impression that one was on the way. They didn't actually have one, but
yes, they had gotten authorization.
I'm not sure it matters. But
that the warrant had been authorized and was on the way, and that is what that is the premise under which they initiated the further search. That search being based on the smell of marijuana there.
Okay, so the chronology is that occurred after the guns were noted and secured, but before they didn't search until they were told a search warrant is on the way? Didn't conduct a further search,
They did not
say.
Conduct a further search. They did a sweep looking for Reams. They did not go do a full extensive search until they got a search warrant. They based that search warrant on the smell of marijuana. They also knew that Mr. Sabo was a felon. They had prior knowledge that Mr. Sabo was a felon. And so when they saw these firearms, they had two bases on which they could secure a search warrant for the Sabo trailer.
Okay.
So it is the government's position that Walls, in fact, that the facts of this case are on all fours with Walls, that Mr. Sabo's actions and gestures, albeit nonverbal, in stepping aside from the threshold of his trailer was enough and sufficient to manifest his consent for Detective McCune to enter the trailer. One additional note, Mr. Campbell mentioned some of the additional actions taken by in Walls that further manifested her consent to allow them in. If we look at some of the additional things that happened once Detective McCune got in, there's no indication in the record that Terry Sabo did anything after that to say, hey, get out. Why are you in here? He was certainly free with the expletives telling somebody he doesn't want them in there. There were no such expletives when they were already in there. He said there was nothing. In fact, there is some indication in the record that it being a snowy day, he was down there trying to lick the snow off the officer's boots. So there's nothing to indicate in the record similar to the manifestation that, well, similar to the additional things that the court pointed to in Wallace to say these were additional indicia of her manifestation of consent. We can look at some of the same things in this case. There was nothing that Mr. Sabo did subsequent to that entry that would say anything other than he consented to the entry to the officer of the officers into his trailer on that date. As such, there was no Fourth Amendment violation in this case, and the government asked that the conviction be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Campbell, your time had expired, but I'll give you a minute in rebuttal if you have anything further to say.
The only point I would want to make in response to the last part of Ms. Lowry's presentation is that I think there's a difference between Walls, where Ms. Walls apparently continued through a hallway beckoning the police officers in, and they all sat in the kitchen, and Mr. Sabo's situation, where as soon as Officer McCune comes in, Mr. Sabo is put on a sofa, the troops then rush in, and Mr. Sabo's handcuffed. I think there's a big difference in those two factual situations that in determining whether or not subsequent to the entry of the officers there is any actions that manifested his consent or not.
All right. Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. Mr. Campbell, you were appointed in this case, is that right?
That's right.
All right. The court thanks you for your service to your client and the court. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.